Detroit PODcast in here, out there, around the world, in the world, on the surface of the world, whether you think that it's flat, round, small, big, heckin' good, heckin' bad, it's where we are, Pride of Detroit POD. I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett. Jeremy Reisman is here, fearless leader at Detroit Online. He's here, he's always here.
Hello.
He's trying to upgrade his host status when I am away dealing with midterms, which makes him a very naughty boy, as well as a fearless leader.
Coming for you.
You're not going to catch me. Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. Yeah, Ryan underscore POD. Gang's all here. How you doing, Ryan?
About as good as I can do after what happened in week five.
Yeah, it was a thrashing, and we're going to talk about it. Lions take their first L on the season?
Nope. For second.
Nope. First L. That's not me being adequate either.
That's you sticking it to Dean Blandino, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Twist that knife. Yeah.
Twist it there. Yeah. Mr. How did he say Verners?
Your favorite goalie of all time is Mike Vernon. And it's also Dean Blandino's favorite drink from Michigan.
Love my 4-2 Lions.
They've only played 5 games.
Once again, Jeremy just does not get the jokes.
So wait, they got a win and a loss in Atlanta?
Jeremy, just don't try. You're the one that's trying too hard here. No, I know. You're like the people who are like earnestly taking my Jim Bob Cooter for head coach thing without thinking about what the implications are if Jim Bob Cooter gets a head coaching gig somewhere.
Just admit you meant to say 4-1 there.
Because I would admit the first people I would admit that I'm adequate to would be you guys. Not trying to be adequate there. Jeremy, just his censors.
Wait. You're honest about your adequacy? Is that why you cut out like half the things you say that are wrong in this podcast?
I did not cut out half the things I say. And I will absolutely, though, cut out you from this entire podcast. Just
do it.
Shouting at myself.
I would love it. Do it.
This is why I should not be host and producer.
I think this should be the podcast where you cut out both Jeremy and myself, and it's just an hour of you yelling at yourself, Chris.
Yelling at myself? Yeah, that actually sounds like a great idea for a podcast. Lions 24, Carolina Panthers 27, Cam Newton in the locker room afterwards with a Rosie the Riveter pin. Is that right? We're back to wearing pins now.
Wank, 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 wank.
Wank. Wank, 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 wank. This sucked.
It wasn't good.
No, sir.
Jeremy, do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Lions?
I don't feel a lot worse, if I'm being honest. I don't feel better, that's for certain. I feel a little worse. And here's the thing with the Lions' performance today. I think it told us a little more about the team than some of their past wins did. I think it told us that this defense isn't exactly for real. I have longer thoughts on the defense, which I'll get to in a little bit. But I think we can stop with this. Lions offense is just going to get better once they play some worse defenses. Not that Carolina's defense isn't good. It is. But this is like 5 weeks straight of this. There's no excuse for the Lions offense to be looking as bad as it currently does, and they're going to get Matthew Stafford killed in the meantime if they don't figure out something quick.
Stafford sacked about, let's see here, on the box score says 6 times. I want to say it was probably closer to like 7 or 8 without some like penalties or just in general, just him getting hit. He got hit at least a dozen times today and registered about 6 sacks.
It truly felt like almost every other play Matthew Stafford was playing for his life. And that's the biggest problem of this offense, is that as soon as the ball is snapped, it almost kind of feels like a free-for-all. It feels like Matthew Stafford has to start to improvise, like from the snap. And it's not good. And it's entirely worrisome. And it's very troubling, because then you see TJ Lang slowly walking off the field after, you know, the Lions are forced to punt again. Or, you know, you see Greg Robinson just getting beat continuously time after time. And it's just very problematic because Stafford has zero time. I mean, like, to sum up today's game, Cam Newton had forever and a day to sit back in that pocket and to analyze the Lions defense. Like, I'm not even going to give the Lions defensive front almost any credit today because, you know, Akeem Spence had, I think, a couple sacks. There was another Lions player who I can't think of right now who had a sack. Holodinata, yeah, he had a sack as well. I think they gave the team one sack, but they were all coverage sacks. I mean, the secondary did not play well at all by any means, but I guess at least give them credit for that because Ed freaking Dixon.
Yeah, remember last year when CJ Fedoritz got like what two touchdowns in this Lions team in the Texans game? Back, baby. We're back. 175 yards for Ed Dixon, who's only playing because Greg Olsen isn't.
5 receptions on 5 targets for 175 yards.
Every time Cam looked his way, he just was not covered at all.
Ed Dixon has been on the Panthers. This is his 4th year on the Panthers. His season total for yardage in the first 3 years never was above 134 yards. His season total.
Coming into this game, he only had 96 through 4 games.
It's wildly disappointing. And I guess I'll get into my thoughts on the defense now.
Let's stick with the defense for this segment. We'll analyze offense next.
What's interesting to me is that this defense sold out on the run, and this is what I admittedly thought the game plan should have been. Sell out on the run, make Cam Newton beat you. They held the Panthers 28 rushes, 28 yards, exactly 1.0 yards per carry. You couldn't ask for a better performance in stopping the run. But then the secondary blew it. The defensive line got no pressure, and Cam Newton had a near-perfect day. And that's hugely disappointing to me. And to see Darius Slay go out there, play his probably worst game as a Detroit line, at least since his rookie year, to see the linebackers get sucked up. I mean, they were so committed to stopping the run in this game that they let guys like Ed Dixon run free. They let guys like Devin Funchess be wide open over the middle of the field. And I mean, just no one in the secondary played well. Maybe Glover Quinn again, but even he missed a couple tackles. He was a little bit late on the, I think it was the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown in the back of the end zone. The secondary let this team down. It's the part of the defense this team has been relying on through 4 games, and they let them down today because the linebackers, at least in the run game, did their job today. And you could even give credit to the defensive line. They did their job in the run game today, but secondary did hold their weight today, and it really cost them early.
And Jeremy, I mean, correct me if I'm projecting here a little bit or speaking for you, but isn't that the part of the defense that you probably had the most confidence in was the secondary?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I thought the game plan today should have been stop the run, force Cam Newton, who's not the most accurate of passers, to get himself into trouble, to throw into tight coverage, maybe get another tipped ball into Glover Quinn's hands. But I was wrong. I mean, Cam Newton was on fire today. To give him credit, he was excellent today. He dropped a couple dimes. But there were other times when there were just free receivers. And when the Lions offensive flurry finally came at the end, it was down to the Lions secondary again. They needed one more stop, and Darius Slay just got shoved out of the way by Kelvin Benjamin for a seemingly easy first down conversion, and that was the ball game.
Yeah, we can talk about those two drives and how little they mean to me, but the defense, the most disappointing part of it, I think you hit on, and it was Darius Slay. And the way that he was beat on the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown, the way that for the Devin Funchess touchdown, which was an incredible catch by Funchess, but just zero pass rush the entire game. The entire game, Cam Newton felt completely comfortable in the pocket. And like you said, Jeremy, the Lions couldn't ask for more from their run defense. And I'm not saying that Jared Davis is the cure-all, but I mean, 28 carries, like you said, for 28 yards. The guy, I thought Jared Davis had a good game. I mean, I'll have to go back and see why Ed Dixon had five catches for 175 yards. But like you said, this was probably Darius Slay's worst game that he's had since his rookie season. I mean, it was a bad showing. And I mean, he's already on Twitter talking about how, you know, not the best performance, but on to the next one. Man, the expectations have changed, though. You know, the expectations have changed. It's no longer get out of this 8-game stretch going 4-4.
Yeah.
And 4-4 would be a disappointment at this point.
Once again, like, hey, look, Ezekiel Ansah had a sack. So, I mean, but he's just, it was still no pressure whatsoever on, and like Carolina in the past year had a very bad offensive line. And I know they went out of their way to really try to patch it up, but still, like, whatever the pressure is, outside of like Haloti Ngata suddenly exploding the inside of the interior of that Carolina line, there was nothing that Detroit could really do to get into the backfield unless they were handing off to Jonathan Stewart and just, you know, hey, one of those times they actually sold out for the run, they actually hit home. Which, I mean, there's quite a few tackles for losses in this game. I'm seeing about 13 tackles for losses. So they were getting home on the run, but as you say, like everything else, you couldn't bring down Cam Newton. You couldn't just Ed Dixon. Just I'm seeing that name just pop up. It's wonderful.
And
Kelvin this, Benjamin too.
Like this was a beat up Panthers offensive line too. Like Matt Khalil is one bad, two kind of injured. Panthers had their backup center in there who they've had for the past two or three games, and they got nothing. Ziggy may have a sack on the stat sheet, but he was another non-factor today. And I thought this was a day perhaps we'd see an Ereck Flowers type performance out of him, but we didn't. And I don't. The thing is, people talk about the Lions offensive line and like, well, once we get Decker back, everything is going to be fixed there. There is no savior coming on this defensive line.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know Greg Robinson's bad, but it can't just be a matter of the left tackle at this point.
I mean, it has a lot to do with it, but I don't think that people think that he's, I mean, people thinking that he's the Band-Aid that's gonna fix everything, that's kind of silly to presume that that's going to be the case.
Well, why don't we take a break here? Because next segment, I want to talk about offense, and I want to talk about selling stock on certain parts of that offense. So we'll be right back here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. We see all your questions here. We've got quite a bit. And I think it always feels weird unveiling Rage Corner after a loss. It feels like it's only something we're bringing out during a loss, but I think, we might have some rages coming down the pike. We'll have to see. We've got some more stuff coming away, and I apologize. We just don't have anything fun right now other than just stewing in this loss yet again. Be right back. Pride of Detroit, PODcast, rolling along here. Chris Perfett, Jeremy Reisman, Ryan Matthews, all back here after a Lions defeat. No Toto, no Africa, nothing. Just us in your ear reminding you of this. And, you know, just trying to have some fun throughout, but we've got to break down what all happened. To that end, I want to talk, there's three ways to go when talking about the offense here. And I want to start with those last two drives because I know, I think it was Ryan last segment was talking about how little those last two, no, it was Jeremy, about how little those last two drives mattered.
It was me, but yeah.
It was Ryan. Okay, I had it right the first time. Adequate. I kind of disagree, but at the same time, not so much, only because there were two of them. Like, that the fact that you got two going on there at the end kind of indicates like, okay, you finally were turning some on, but I just got the question of why is it taking this long to turn it on at the end? And I have to come back to a name that I feel like I want to sell a little stock on. I want to sell stock on two guys. And the first one I want to talk to you guys about is Jim Bob Cooter. And it's not the obvious narrative here is once again, the NFL defenses of the world out there thumping their chest and the fans who love the defense is thumping their chest and saying, we figured out, they figured out Jim Bob Cooter's offense. And I tell me what you guys think, because I disagree with that. I don't think it's a matter of quote unquote figuring it out. I think it's more of a question of that Jim Bob Cooter and whatever he's been drawing up for this offense has completely misread what the strengths of this Lions team are. It has handcuffed Stafford more times than not now, rather than playing to his strengths. And I don't know if it's a commitment to the run once again, which once again, I mean, Abdullah, sure, we can look at Abdullah and we can say, oh yeah, he had some long yards, 16 yards, but he still averaged just over 3 yards a carry on 10 carries. So there's something going on here with this offense that it's just not being played to any strengths whatsoever.
Let me chime in real quick, Jeremy, and then I'll let you get to your point. But the Lions' first play from scrimmage was a 16-yard run by Amir Abdullah. And mm-hmm. immediately I thought, look, this is the Lions. They're choosing to establish the run. It's clearly part of their offensive identity. You know, narrative this, narrative that, the offensive line getting retooled. The running game is so important, this passing offense, blah, 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 blah. But then necessity bared that the Lions almost abandoned the run game at a certain point. And it became apparent that the Panthers were ready to literally sell the house and just send the entire defense just bearing down on Matthew Stafford to force him to throw the ball quickly. And the Panthers adjusted so well to taking care of the Lions that I don't think that Jim Bob Cooter did a good job of adjusting what he needed to do, especially in the second half. How is it that the very first play from scrimmage in the second half, when you finally get a chance to put your mitts on the ball, Stafford fumbles it on the first attempt because the pressure gets home to him and the Lions are passing on first down already to start the half? I'm not ready to sell everything on Jim Bob Cooter. And I definitely don't agree with the fact that people are saying, well, you know, other teams have this offense figured out. This isn't the Lombardi offense where people were telling the Lions offense, oh, hey, we know what you're running kind of thing.
I don't buy that.
Twitter guys,
you don't know what it is just because you see a formation. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't be the football uncle.
Absolutely not. But Jeremy, I would love to hear what you have to say about the Lions offense.
Well, you guys are saying the other teams haven't figured out Jim Bob Cooter's offense. I want to know if Jim Bob Cooter has figured out Jim Bob Cooter's offense, because what is the identity of this team right now? Honestly, what is the identity of this offense? Is it short passes? Because we didn't see a lot of those today. Is it commitment to the run game? Because they only ran the ball 15 times today. I don't know what the identity of this offense is. I don't know what Jim Bob Cooter is trying to do except play very, very safe with the football. And that's not a Jim Bob Cooter thing. That's a Jim Caldwell thing.
Don't throw
interceptions. Don't throw difficult passes. Don't air it out. But this is the thing that really frustrates me. You look at Carolina today, ran the ball for 28 total yards. They were completely one-dimensional, yet they found a way to move the ball. You can say all you want about the Lions offensive line handcuffing them. You can say all you want about the Lions not having a run game. They're still not getting it done. Cam Newton and the Panthers offense found a way. They went the Jurassic Park route. They found a way. This Lions offense is not finding a way at all. They're not doing anything creative. Like that shovel pass touchdown from the Panthers, such a beautiful play.
Same drive. That third and one play action play when they ended up hooking up with Ed Dixon. Great play calling by Shula on that entire drive.
And that's not something I ever want to hear saying, that great job, Shula.
And the Lions version of that is on third and one, you throw a completely obvious throw to Theo Riddick. He doesn't catch it. You go for it on fourth down, line up like you're going to run the ball. Somehow you think this is a hard mouth power running offense. It gets blown up for negative 4 yards, like everyone in the stadium knew was going to happen.
And by the
way, I'm not trying to be football uncle guy here, but that shit was telegraphed.
And by the way, stop goddamn trying to run the football out of the shotgun. It never works. It never goddamn works.
Here is what I have to kind of answer your question, Jeremy. And I think I already touched on it a little bit. But this is the thing that I'm having the most this is what I'm having the most trouble coming to terms with. And yeah, I get what you're saying. Maybe Jim Bob Cooter doesn't even really know what he has. I'd like to think that he's a smarter guy than that, but they're not making the adjustments. Like, they're not making the adjustments in game to match up whatever identity they have, because, and this is why I say this, the Lions win the coin toss to start the game and they want the football. Clearly they have something in mind, and maybe their most successful drive of the, probably the entire first half comes on that very first drive that ends up in a field goal, because they clearly had a game plan. But like after that, why was it just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks? Like, they don't have an identity going past, you know, after that point. Like, they lose their offensive identity after that point, and it's nowhere to be found because there's no adjustments. And it's so entirely frustrating because we know the type of talent that's on this offense.
Didn't we see that about that this offense last year, though? Didn't we say the same thing, that it just can't adjust even when Jim Bob Cooter was kind of running the show? They just can't figure out how to adjust to something that's changing on the field.
Well, I mean, this entire game was a classic 2016 game, right?
Yeah. It really felt like it.
Opposing quarterbacks completing over 75% of the passes, tight ends killing us up the middle.
An unknown tight end.
And the Lions have a desperate plea at the end of the game to get back into the game, almost do. But for the rest of the game, offense is extremely inconsistent. This is exactly what haunted the team last year. And it's scary that it reared its ugly head, because we talked about last year's team like they were an awful team that got to the playoffs somehow. If that's where we're still at, that's terrifying. The same arguments that you could make last year, you can make this year. The Lions haven't beaten that great of a team yet. You can maybe argue against the Vikings being a potentially good game, but definitely, I think, a quality win on the road. But other than that, the two best teams the Lions have played, the Lions kind of got played in their own, you know, at Ford Field. Both the Panthers and the Falcons worked this team for at least three quarters in each game. Hey, so the Lions have a whole new level to get to. I'm not saying this is a horrible team. I'm not even saying this is just an okay team. I think this team can still win 10 games, but there's still a level that they're not at.
It took less than 5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. So after the Lions scored their touchdown, their first touchdown of the game, which that came at what? That came at, I think, 5 minutes remaining. Okay, that came...
It was the Zach Center run.
It was the Zach Center run. Sorry, I'm just trying to read this box score.
Second quarter, yeah.
Yeah, it came at like the start of the second quarter. It took until 5 minutes remaining in the third until the Lions had a first down after that. That includes three and outs, end of the half on three plays that went, you know, minus 7 yards, and the Stafford fumble.
I mean, there were four drives at one point that ended up totaling negative 5 yards for the Lions. It wasn't good. Like, it wasn't good by any means. And this is why I'm telling you that do not pay attention to those last two drives. Carolina is up comfortably. That's prevent there. They are up comfortably 27-10. What they want the Lions to do is eat clock. Sure, I'm assuming that they probably wanted to make more tackles than they ended up making. But those receptions, those plays are happening because they don't want drop passes. They don't want the opportunity for the Lions to maybe get a turnover on defense, something that they didn't do all of today. And shocker, they lose the game.
Well, I thought the second drive was a little more emblematic of maybe something we could potentially see. But yeah, by the end of that game, there's really like, I still don't know how to parse the end of that game, because I'm with you like up until that first touchdown. That's all prevent. Second one, I don't know. What do you make of that? Because at that point, like, Carolina is more behooved to kind of try to stop that kind of thing.
Maybe, for sure. I mean, they're like, I'm just saying that the defense's mindset is definitely, hey, let them catch the ball, but let's not let them break tackles, which is something that the Lions are pretty good at doing once they get the ball into their playmakers' hands. But, like, obviously that wasn't happening from quarters, you know, after the first touchdown in the second quarter until, like you said, like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, that just didn't happen. So, I don't know. Don't be fooled by what you saw, I think, in those last two drives. Maybe in that last Darren Fells touchdown drive, because that's putting it that's putting the game within too close of reach, but it's...
Well, and they did it incredibly quickly. That whole drive took 51 seconds.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a good drive by any standard. It doesn't mean that the Lions' offensive issues are fixed or anything like that.
No,
but
by any means, no.
But, I mean, it did bring them to a point where they were one play away from getting the ball back down three with 2 minutes left, which is obviously, you know, a whole Paleolithic era for Matthew Stafford. You know, 2 minutes is plenty of time for him to get him in field goal range.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean...
And you brought up Darren Fells, and that kind of brings me to the other part I want to get on here in the last, like, 3-5 minutes we have in this segment. And that is Eric Ebron. And Jeremy, did we say anything right in our pregame show? Because I went off on the guy who was yelling about Eric Ebron, and I think we had, like, bad predictions all around. I think we said to take the under at 42. This game went to 51. Did we get anything right in that pregame show?
I said Marvin Jones was going to have a pretty good game, and he had a pretty good game.
Wait, hold up. What's a pretty good game?
6 catches, 54 yards. It's not awful. It's good for him.
Probably the best game he's had all season.
Not a very high bar here, guys. Eric Ebron. Ebron, though.
Whew. Yeah. Here's the problem with Eric Ebron. He can't catch passes that he needs to catch.
Is this some yips problem here? Like this just felt just really... I know he's always had trouble with drop passes, but it just has not felt like this from Ebron in the past.
I mean,
these are backbreaking.
There were also a couple. I mean, Golden Tate had a drop on a pass that could have kept a drive alive early on in the game. But the ones that are going to be the most glaring, I mean, Matthew Stafford in the locker room after the game kind of, he tried to put that touchdown pass that Ebron dropped on him a little bit because he's like, it's not the best ball that I could have thrown. But, dude, I mean, come on. Like, don't question my intelligence. Like, the ball hit the dude in the hands and he dropped it. And
Eric Ebron on Twitter. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, let's talk about Eric Ebron on Twitter because now is not the time to go and defend yourself, dude. Like, tuck it in, take your L, and then just get ready for the next one. You don't have to be tweeting. Like, leave the phone alone. Do not get on Twitter.
Well, I want to read this out because right now, as we sit here about 7:17 on the East Coast, Eric Ebron currently pretty close to a ratio right now. If you've been on Twitter, you know what a ratio is. 671 replies, 113 retweets, 466 likes. Some of you wouldn't know the half. Boo me all you want, but pay attention to the whole picture. Hashtag stay woke. Yes, he was getting pretty well booed, and a Bronx cheer, as it is annoyingly called. And B, stay woke. I'm not even sure what you want us to stay woke about here. What, was there like some conspiracy to stop you from catching the ball?
I think there's an argument out there that the touchdown pass got tipped, but I don't care. Ryan's absolutely right. He just needs to stay off Twitter. You're not going to win over anybody on Twitter ever. No mm-hmm. Twitter war has ever resulted in someone putting up their white flag and conceding. No one has ever conceded an argument on Twitter ever. So,
by the way, yeah, and the other part of this equation too is that Darren Fells had like 2 touchdown catches, which, I mean, yeah.
I mean,
the proof is in the pudding.
Here's what Darren Fells does better than Eric Ebron: block and catch balls.
Everything.
No, he doesn't run routes better than Eric Ebron. He's not nearly as athletic of a route runner, and he's not really meant to catch balls.
Right.
But he clearly has better hands. Mm-hmm. That much we agreed upon. So yep. What I think a lot of people are thinking, why don't we just put Darren Fells in Eric Ebron's role? That's not going to work.
No, that doesn't work.
It really isn't work.
That's putting a round peg in a square hole.
Yes. The question here, and this might get Chris excited, is Michael Roberts ready? Is it time to give Michael Roberts the Eric Ebron role?
But those guys aren't the same player either.
That's what I was going to say. It's not quite the same player. it's certainly a better fit than Darren Fells is. But at this point, I mean, Eric Ebron is a liability when he's out there. It's a fact at this point. It really is.
The Lions went from having two short options, one in the slot and Eric Ebron last year. And Eric Ebron at least was passable, and you had the option that either he was going to be a threat or was going to be Anquan Boldin. Now you got nothing coming out of the slot. And now you got Eric Ebron dropping everything, kind of coming towards him. And when he's out of the game, it's a little more predictable what the Lions are going to do with either Darren Fells or whatever. Like that dynamism from the slot has just been completely lost, and it makes the tight end position, as the Lions were using it, completely devalued, because they just know it's like, okay, yeah, this isn't going to be a problem.
I just ate what I thought was a crumb from my piece of pizza that was actually a piece of salt from a pretzel at Ford Field, and I'm super upset right now.
How did that happen?
I don't know, just because it's kind of dark in this room that I'm recording in. But here's the other thing with Ebron. Like, I'm totally spot on with both you guys. And Jeremy, what you're saying, like, you can't all of a sudden have Darren Fells be Eric Ebron because they're not the same player. In the locker room after the game, like, people were asking Stafford, like, surprisingly, not a lot of people asking questions about injuries, more so people asking questions about Ebron and Fells and how they're different. So, like, Fells, and Stafford was like, well, one of them's big and the other one's not as big, and one of them's faster and the other one's not as fast. So, like, he was making distinctions just based on, like, physical attributes. And he's clearly trying to stay away from, hey, my man had a couple of really big drops. And he even tried to say, well, you know, Ebron did catch a pass like later on in the game on one of the later 2-minute, you know, offense drives. And it's like, roll my eyes in the back of my skull. Like, you're really good at being diplomatic, Matthew Stafford. God bless you.
QB speak, man.
Oh, man. Here's a question. So, Jeremy, you ask, do you replace Ebron with possibly Roberts? Do you just abandon Eric Ebron in the red zone? Like, do you not put him on the field at all? Because, I mean, Fells is 6'7", and Matthew Stafford has an aptitude to throw jump balls. And maybe if Kenny Galladay ever finally gets healthy, they have options to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you just brought up the point I was going to say. And that's, I think Kenny Galladay is actually the key to all of this, because no, you don't put Ebron out there for the red zone anymore. I'm sorry, Ebron, that last year you allegedly complained to Anquan Boldin about not getting enough red zone targets, but guess what? You got your first today right in your chest and you dropped it. So I don't see how this team can trust you right now. So hopefully Galladay gets back. The Lions will go 3 wide and then maybe send out Fells every now and then as well, because who is their red zone option right now? I think Galladay might be their best red zone option.
And are that's we really going to we're trusting on a rookie with like 1.5 games to him of only one game where he really like balled out. Like, this is kind of this is a gamble here, but I guess you're kind of right. The Lions don't have much else.
It is, but he's a big target and he's going to draw people's attention. So, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'd rather have somebody out there who can draw someone's attention. And this goes back to an earlier point I wanted to make real quick, is that you talked, Jeremy, you mentioned how, like, you know, Ebron is a much better route runner than Fells. Absolutely. I'll concede that. But it doesn't mean jack shit if you run the greatest route in the world and you can't catch the pass.
Right.
So, like, it's just frustrating. God damn it.
Hyper's frustrating. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about this game, more about the NFL, and eventually we're going to get to your mailbag questions, which I don't know. We've already covered a lot of the stuff in the mailbags. We'll have to just see what we can do with it. I know Jeremy's been chomping at the bit to read some of these reviews, though. So stick around. We'll be right back. Back here again. Pride of Detroit, PODcast. Stands for Pride of Detroit, POD. First 3 letters, PODcast. Yeah. I think we're calling this segment Happy Thoughts. We need to think happy thoughts, especially since we're sitting here and just watched Aaron Rodgers come from behind to, unless the Cowboys throw a Hail Mary here, they have come from behind and won. which, I mean, again, by the time you are hearing this, you already know that answer. Either way, happy thoughts. Ryan, you were the one who wanted to come up with the positivity. What you got?
Let's start with the defense. Jeremy, you have some happy thoughts to share about the defense, right? At least a facet of it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier about how stout this team was against the run, and I think it was Chris who kind of glossed over a pretty phenomenal stat line, and that's the Lions had 13 tackles for loss in this game. That's huge. That should, I mean, by any normal standard, that's amazing. You would not know that Cam Newton had 141 passer rating in this game if they had 13 tackles for loss. Detroit put the Panthers in some tough positions today thanks to some good plays on first and second down. Unfortunately, they weren't so good on third down, but let's talk about Jared Davis because I thought he looked phenomenal today. He shot some gaps in the run game. He didn't always bring down Jonathan Stewart in the run game, but he slowed him enough for four or five other guys to wrap him up. I mean, I heard that Jonathan Stewart had something like 9 broken tackles in this game, and he still averaged 1.2 yards per carry. That just goes to show you how phenomenal this team was in getting into the backfield during the running game, and Jared Davis, I think, had a huge part in that.
Agreed. I was happy with how Davis played. He was clearly somebody who was ready to come back in the locker room after the game. He did make mention of how he was kind of jonesing to get back on the field last week, but just couldn't. Got to be happy with how that played out. What else can we glean anything from how cool the offense looked or no? Like, was there anything to be happy about on the offense?
Somehow I'm wrong again about Zach Zenner.
What is going on in this fucking game? Okay, all right, sorry. All right, I'm done.
Ryan just saw the lateral attempt, that Dallas attempted at the end. And I only know this because I'm actually watching on cable and like a whole minute ahead of y'all.
The Green Bay player got the ball and it wasn't down. So the Dallas offensive lineman just smacked it out of his hand. It's like, we're still playing. Oh my God, whatever. Anyways, so yeah, offense. Let's talk about the good on offense. Marvin Jones finally showed out. And I mean by showed out, he had, what, 6 catches for 54 yards. That's positive.
Yeah.
Theo Riddick. Theo Riddick was another huge positive. He put Luke Kuechly on the ground. So that was cool.
Twice, really.
Yeah, we haven't had Theo Riddick show up quite like that yet.
True. Yeah, it was a kind of a homecoming here for Theo Riddick because I know we had been like waiting for a few games. Like, where's Theo Riddick? Where's Theo Riddick? What's he doing? He put on some jukes today. He put on some spins. I liked it.
And I mean, he had an 8-yard run, which to for him is like a 30-yard run. So that's pretty impressive.
I remember when he had that run play on Twitter, I was like, Theo Riddick is running the ball. This is not a drill. And then Alex was like, and he ran the play for positive yardage. This is not a drill.
Yeah, so. I was shocked seeing that because, again, I had been waiting for Amir Abdullah to do much. And all of a sudden, here comes Theo Riddick for 8 yards.
I don't know if this is necessarily optimism, but can we talk about our favorite thing from the game that we saw? Because mine was Nick Ballor playing fullback.
I didn't even notice that.
He was the fullback on Zach Zenner's 1-yard run for a touchdown, so you couldn't possibly pack more grit and determination in that backfield on that play. You couldn't possibly put more willpower and determination in that backfield. Unfortunately, that was also the same lineup that failed to get 1 yard on 4th-and-1 near midfield. That was a huge turning point in the in the game as well. So, loved having Nick Ballor playing fullback. That's cool. I love that we just have like rotating fullbacks. 1 week it's Jeremiah Valuaga. Another week it's Nick Ballor. Who do you think it's going to be next week? I really think that once Sam Martin comes back, if he does, we should put Locke back there.
Can we run Don Mule back out there?
Oh my God. How exciting would it be for a quick fullback handoff to Don Muleback?
Yeah, baby. It'll go like, all the way for a touchdown.
I mean, if this season ever gets out of hand, can we just do something nice for Don Muleback?
Maybe.
Salute to service, Don Muleback.
He doesn't lose a touchdown, right? for 20 years with this team, he deserves one touchdown.
For approximately 30 seasons with the Lions, he deserves 6 points to his name. He deserves 7 points. If he scores the touchdown, he should line up for the extra point, too. Bang that home. Have Matt Prater hold it.
Who's going to snap it, though?
Jeff Locke.
Why are you insistent on keeping Jeff Locke around after Sam Martin comes back?
Why not?
Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts.
I'm sorry, Jeremy.
Jesus Christ, Jeremy.
How about Akeem Spence? I thought Akeem Spence had a pretty good game for being Akeem Spence.
Yeah, there was one play where he came running down the line, and I was like, that's a big man to be running as fast as he is down the line. He had a big hit.
They only gave him one sack, but I think he was also in on that team sack. So
yeah, he was. He was for sure. So kudos to him, Keem Spence. Big game. Big game.
For the Lions played okay defense in the second half. They gave up 10 total points, which sounds a little bit better than it was. But I think Akeem Spence showed up big in the second half, and the Lions needed him to because Nada was out for the entire second half, and we don't know what Nada's status is for the rest of the game, but it sounds like he probably got x-rays on his arm, which is always scary. So maybe Akeem Spence can take over as a starter now and be okay.
I have one more happy thought to share with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, I want to share this happy thought with you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Michigan State 14, Michigan 10.
Cancel the podcast.
I wanted that so bad.
Something was completely lost to Twitter lore because I tweeted while things were looking awful for the Lions. It couldn't possibly be any worse. I tweeted, hey, not all things are bad. The Spartans won this weekend. Immediately, I copy the link to that tweet, send it to Reno in the DMs. And within seconds, Jeremy in the Slack channel goes, oops. And I'm like, oh no, he already deleted it.
From the guy who was going go blue on Saturday before the game, using Pride Detroit,
real.
At Pride Detroit.
Y'all can't prove that I did that. Twitter.
Yes,
Y'all
we can.
Prove that I did it.
I can prove it because
Receipts.
Kyle Yost does not have Twitter access.
Yes, and that's the only other Michigan fan on staff. So explain yourself, Jeremy Reisman.
I don't know. It just must have disappeared.
Yeah, it disappeared like Michigan's offense in the second half.
I spilled my water. That's why I said oops.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can we segue real quick? Like, can we just do Rage Corner?
Sure. We've got 5 minutes.
Okay, so this was supposed to be happy thoughts, but now we're going to get pissed.
Give it a second here. We're going to throw in the theme.
Bring it.
You're yelling at me again.
I am. I'm yelling.
You're getting mad.
Can you hear me?
You're shaking.
I am yelling at you.
Well, reckon you can suck my
yelling.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can you take a break?
I'm yelling at you.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Can you hear me? Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Yelling. Yelling.
Are you ready to suck now? Have you got it all out? Mad, ain't you?
Stupid.
Red face.
Listen.
Now you're calling me stupid.
Listen. Yes, I am.
This is Kangaroo Court.
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass.
What you got for me today, Ryan?
Hey, anybody who says what happened to Odell Beckham Jr. was karma for what happened to Jared Davis, you can do me a big favor and piss off. That's a joke. If you really think that karma works that way, you don't understand karma at all. Like, at all. Like, the essence of what karma is. If you think that it's evening up with another injury for something that I think most of us can say Odell Beckham Jr. didn't do on purpose to hurt Jared Davis. So even in the postgame press conference, in the locker room, Jared Davis mentioned how, you know, he was itching to get back. Somebody specifically asked him, do you think that play he made on you was dirty? And he made a comment about how the NFL is all about full effort. And he doesn't think at all that what Odell Beckham Jr. did was with, you know, specific intent to hurt him. And I don't think anybody can make the case that that's the case at all. So if you're on Twitter and you're saying, hey, this is karma for what happened to Jared Davis and the 2 games that Jared Davis missed,
you don't understand what karma is and you're a loser. So go bury your hand, go bury your head in the sand and have the grains of sand attached to your eyeballs. And I hope it's painful, you losers.
Get a Ryan, that was,
have like, I have like not, a grain of dirt on one of my eyes right now, so I totally understand.
That was not nearly as angry enough, because these pieces of shit that are sending the Pride of Detroit account pictures of Odell Beckham Jr. crying and with the hashtag karma, those people can fuck right off. I'm sorry. That's horrible. You're a horrible human being. If every single person that had a block in the fucking back got karma in the form of a broken leg, there would be zero healthy players in the NFL right now, because blocks in the back happen four times a fucking game. Are you kidding me? I know Jared Davis got hurt. I was hurt most by that, all right? I had a Jared Davis jersey, and I had a group of people angry at me for wearing it. If anyone had a right to be angry about that injury, it was me. And I don't get it. How can people look at that play and, one, think it was dirty at all? Guess what? The NFL didn't think it was dirty, didn't suspend him, didn't fine him. Because anyone who's watched football for more than 5 fucking seconds knows that blocks in the back like that happen all the time, and it was just an unfortunate circumstance afterwards. If Odell Beckham was a half a second early, that block is in the shoulder, and nothing is ever said about it.
I can't believe that it's been 3 weeks and we're still talking about this stupid fucking block. That's what's getting me mad, that some of y'all just can't let anything go and want and like waiting all this time for Odell Beckham to get hurt so you could say this kind of bullshit and shit up and get this podcast shit up because we have to deal with your bullshit out there, because for some reason you're just clinging on to this nonstop.
Yeah, and don't
like
don't
this is like this is like the this is like the Tigers fans who still hate Jim Joyce 10 years later or whatever the fuck.
Dude, no, that's legit.
Detroit,
no, that's legit.
But no. Detroit sports fans just never let anything go, and it's really sport. Annoying.
That's sports fans. Let's be honest. Some people are still hanging on.
Sports fans.
Some people are still hanging on to quotes from 10 years ago, like certain college football coaches are. Dude, I mean, I don't want to phone anyone else.
Some people are still hanging on to Claude Lemieux.
Jeremy, you're kidding me right now, right? Anyways,
can we go on to review so I can rage some more? Because I'm ready. I'm fired up right now.
Let's go. Let's do the reviews. Let's do our mailbag. Want to just put this whole Shimaga little crazy thing behind us. So we'll be right back. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD. As always, I'm going to give some advice to the people if you want to get your questions in. You just heard us talking about the Detroit Lions for, let's see here, before we went into the rage about Odell Beckham, I'd say about 50 minutes. But when you send us Lions questions, I totally get it why you want to send Lions questions. You want to ask about what you think, you know, we should be talking about. The only issue is that then we get to the mailbag, and like nearly everything we've talked about has that you wanted to ask us questions about, we've covered it already. We were having a really good rapport over the off season, getting really funny questions. There's no funny questions today.
Like no funny how? Questions. Like haha funny? Like I'm a clown funny? Clown.
Yes, yes. Like Danny DeVito. No. Ugh. Danny DeVito, Chris. Oh my. Joe Pesci.
You call yourself an Italian. Jesus.
I had a brain fart here. Why don't you read the reviews, Jeremy?
All right. Chris, I know you're going to want to jump in here once I read the first review. Please let me just read both reviews and then let me offer a statement. Our first review comes from someone named Nickname 35697. Great name. Great screen name, first of all. He is from Canada, so this doesn't actually show up on their normal iTunes. He gave us 1 star. Mind you that this is coming from 2 weeks ago.
I'm glad this doesn't show up on the regular iTunes.
Hey. The title of his review is unlistenable. It reads, incredibly amateurish, annoying political asides. Okay, on to the next review. From Doug P. USA, which, oh boy, you know you're in for it when someone has USA in their screen name. 3 stars. Could have been better is the title. The review could have been better and would have been 5 stars had they stuck to Lions football. With that last episode, they went political. It seems there's no escape from politics and the division that goes with it. Still looking for a Lions football podcast. All right, here's my statement. I want to offer an apology to Doug P. USA and nickname 35697. I'm
sorry.
You
mean offering them shit.
Wait. In 130 episodes, I'm sorry that we spent 10 minutes of that, I don't know, about 4 days worth of podcasting, if you listen to it all back to back. I'm sorry that we spent 10 minutes of it on the most important issue in the NFL today. The biggest story in the NFL in years. I'm sorry that you don't know how to work the skip 15 second forward fucking button. I'm sorry that you are so annoyed with this political issue that means so much to so many people that you can't stand to listen to it for 10 fucking minutes. I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry. I promise we won't ever talk about how important it is that we listen to each other instead of pretending that they're disrespecting you. I'm sorry that we talked about it for a second, and I promise we won't talk about it. I promise I'm not talking about it right now. I promise we never will again, because you need your Lions football all the time. Oh my goodness. I'm listening to this Lions podcast, and if they talk about anything other than Lions for 5 seconds, I'm going to blow my fucking mind.
Mike Pence went to an Indianapolis Colts game today, or at least he claimed to, tweeted out a picture of him from 2014, told reporters to wait in the van so he could performatively stage him walking out when some of the 49ers players were kneeling. So, and that entire trip, which was chartered, was about $250,000.
You know what, guys?
You want to talk about who's offended, who's the snowflakes? Get fucked. I had to spend 10 years watching your stupid fucking flyovers. My friends went and died in Iraq. And you want to tell me that wasn't political. And now because a couple of people are saying cops shouldn't shoot black men, all of a sudden you're really upset that we're not sticking to football. Fuck you. Get bent.
And I don't even care what side you're on. If you are so unwilling to listen
to the George W. Bush presidency, all of the fucking shit that came with it, and the military industrial complex sending us the world over, plunging this world into fucking chaos, death, destruction, and you know, they wouldn't even, and you know what, you guys love the troops so much, you love the troops so much, you know what they stopped doing during those Bush wars? They stopped showing pictures of flag draped coffins because you guys didn't want to be, you guys didn't want to think about dead soldiers. Now all of a sudden someone's kneeling, now you want to invoke dead soldiers, now you want to invoke dead cops. Get fucked forever. I don't want to even do the rest of this podcast. I'm so fucking mad thinking about this because you guys are just like, you're the scum of the earth. You really are. Like, I don't want to even think about talking about coming together. You are the ones who've had your politics and football for 20 fucking years. And all of a sudden the ties are shifting. There's more voices in here. I'm really fucking mad because I'm just thinking about the NBA out there. The NBA, which has sold itself so well to people around my age. And you know what? I'm kind of glad football's dying because it sold itself to fucking chuds like these assholes, including the asshole up in Canada. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm glad football's dying because of chuds like you. Football being sold to your fucking fat, couch-loaded corpse. What are the questions? Should we get to the mailbag?
You're in charge of the mailbag. I just can't believe people can't handle 10 minutes of conversation. This whole thing has been about creating a conversation.
I'm dropping truths.
I haven't said a single word, but Jeremy, that is being way too gracious to our listeners because it's not handle 10 minutes because like you said, there's a skip button. And if you first start to hear things that you don't like, common sense
what I just did.
Common sense dictates that you should start skipping ahead. Okay?
And for anybody who wants to complain about your guys' language, which I cannot use, but podcast is explicit. So I don't know. And just choose not to listen. Sorry. If you don't like what's here, then don't listen.
I will apologize if I did blaspheme. Someone's been complaining about that, and I'm trying not to use less goddamns than Jesus Christ. I'm trying.
Mailbag.
Man, sir. Jared Davis was active this week and we lost. Is it too early to declare him a bust?
I think so, because here's something working in the opposite direction. Okay. Tease Tabor was active last week and the Lions won. So, like, who's been the more productive rookie? You tell me.
That's a real stay woke. Forget what Ebron wrote. This is the real stay woke.
Cornerback wins.
Stay woke.
Isn't that what Ebron said? Yeah. Stay woke, baby.
Lethal sacks. When do we admit Ebron is not helping this T? T-E-A.
Does Eric Ebron...
Four games ago?
Does Eric Ebron look like the guy who mixes his tea with lemonade? I mean, I'm that kind of guy, so I'm not saying it's like a bad
thing. I'm literally that guy right now.
For sure. Like, that's what I do with my tea. Unsweetened tea, though. Like, I don't want to do sweet on sweet, because that's just too much. But...
Yeah. Have you ever had Tejava?
I don't know what that is.
It is bottled unsweetened tea, and it's insanely good. And I've just... That's the only tea I use now for my Arnold Palmers. You'd like it. Look it up.
I'll check it out.
You do that. David A. Mara, and this is a question I think is suited for you, Ryan, who this is going to open up a whole bag of worms here to talk. The best theoretical McDonald's sandwich is a Big Mac made with 2 quarter-pound patties and 4 cheese slices.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is that a statement?
Yes, that is a statement in the form of a question.
Okay, well, here's my rebuttal to said statement. Nothing at McDonald's is good. There's nothing there worth buying. I've completely changed. If we ever have another fast food ranking for fries or food or whatever it is, nothing from McDonald's will appear on my list. I think from now on, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the McDonald's drive-thru, order French fries unsalted, and then just proceed to drive-thru and not pay for it and just let them spend their time dwelling on wasting my time this weekend, okay? You want to get into some more rage corner? Here's my rage. I drove to 2 separate McDonald's locations that were quote-unquote participating and giving and not giving away. You had to pay for these sauces, okay? You had to pay for the Szechuan sauce. I wanted Szechuan sauce. How are you going to claim that something is a limited quantity when you give 20 cups at most to each of your locations that are participating? That is not limited. McDonald's, you clearly have a misunderstanding of what the word limited means, okay? Limited means that there are people who are going to get it. There were people who literally bought all 20 cups because they bought enough of your stupid buttermilk crispy tenders that were probably grown with, like, chickens that are chalked up with a bunch of hormones and stuff. The reason our country's going to hell.
Roy chicken.
This is disgusting. There's a direct relation in our country between poverty and obesity. And this is a problem. And it's propagated by McDonald's. And it's propagated by other fast food places. But McDonald's, you're worthless. You're disgusting. You're a bunch of heathens. You guys deserve zero business. I hope to see you guys go belly up. I can't wait. I can't wait for all those quote-unquote nerds that showed up to line up to get the sauce that you said you would have, and then you sold out probably within minutes of even selling it. Most of you guys didn't even know you had it. I went into a McDonald's that said that they were participating that had no idea when I said, do you have Szechuan sauce? They looked at me like I had a horn growing out of my forehead, okay? You guys get fired up about politics. I'm getting fired up about Szechuan sauce. This is what's great about America. We can be upset about whatever we want. I'm so pissed right now. I'm not done, Chris.
All right, keep going.
The people who got in my mentions after I tweeted out something that got over 300 retweets and over 1,000 likes, okay? So tell me I'm not the only person who feels like this. I got a gang full of people with me, and this is bullshit, okay? When it comes to saying that you're going to have something, follow through. Do what you say, mean what you say, do what you say. I'm sick and tired of McDonald's. What a disgusting bunch of inbreds. I hate you. I hate you so much. I just wanted Szechuan sauce. I didn't get any.
Oh, no. It's turning.
Hey.
Don't cry.
A, that reaction right there is why I'm happy that McDonald's did what they did. B, if you don't think McDonald's deliberately scrimped on the Szechuan sauce just to have this specific reaction and generate this kind of press, you're being played. This was incredibly deliberate. Once again, to use Eric Ebron's phrase in earnest and correctly, stay woke. C, this is why fast food workers deserve $15 an hour, because they have to put up with people like Ryan.
Also, McDonald's hamburgers are sponges. They're secretly sponges.
Yeah, like, I think my biggest regret about the Big Mac is that I wish any other burger joint in the world made Big Macs.
Let me be clear, too. When I called McDonald's a bunch of disgusting inbreds, I'm not talking about the employees. You people work hard. Some
harder
than others.
You said you were going to order some fries unsalted and then just run straight through the drive-thru.
Clearer heads will prevail, Chris Perfett. I would never do anything harmful like that, okay?
But you would ask for those unsalted fries and then ask for salt packets once you get your unsalted fries.
Don't tell me I can have it my way and then tell me I can't.
That's Burger King.
See, Jeremy, they're already playing you. They're playing you like a fiddle. The fast food industry has got you by the cojones, okay?
This is all because he won't go to Jack in the Box.
What a bunch of disingenuous losers. Hate McDonald's.
Jack in the Box wouldn't scrimp you on Szechuan
sauce. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They would never do something like that to you. They skimp you on the quality ingredients they put in their 2-for-1 tacos, but hey, it's not like they're not upfront about it.
Those tacos are amazing. You shut your face. I would eat those tacos any day over the shit that Taco Bell makes.
I would rather talk about Greg Robinson for an hour than talk about these fucking tacos.
They're good tacos, Jeremy.
They are not.
Ryan Anton, which round do we draft a tight end?
Lord.
Draft talk in October.
Hey, let's talk some more. Yeah! Let's talk some more about fast food.
If Eric Ebron was a fast food item, what would he be? How's that for a mailbag question?
McChicken sandwich.
He'd be a McRib because he gets dropped from the menu shortly after showing.
Oh god. Adam Benevich, what should the plan be with right defensive end? Ziggy is just not the same guy.
Sucks. It's not good. I wish Ziggy was healthy because he's proven to be a good productive player, but he's not. I don't know what to do with it.
We're going to keep talking about his contract for like the entire year up until March.
Jeremy,
you know that.
Jeremy, Chris, when should we draft a defensive end?
As soon as goddamn possible. I'm still shocked that we still haven't.
As soon as possible that we can draft a defensive end is in May or April, whenever the draft happens.
Thank you.
I would say in the second round of the 2017 draft. Can we do that?
What are you taking in the first?
Jared Davis.
That's a good answer.
The Lions are 3-2, and I'm mad. But I'm not mad about that. I'm mad about things
you.
I don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about One Campus Marsh's parking garage and what I saw. I don't want to talk about running into that beer trolley that goes around town with a bunch of middle-aged people screaming Journey at the top of their lungs as I'm crossing the street. How does that happen at the exact moment that I'm crossing the street? That they belt out the lyrics Born and Raised in South Detroit. My literal nightmare.
I hate that song so much. Troy Kilgore, we all know what to listen to after a Lions win, but what songs does the POD staff blast after an ugly loss?
check back on Tuesday for our song of the game.
Oh no, that's me this week. Oh man.
I know I will be listening to Winds of Plague. Goddamn metalcore shit. Thrash it up.
Probably that All By Myself song.
All by myself. No, I'm still angry. I gotta go.
All by myself.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.